I want to share with you something that, well, I won't say anything about it, and I'll find out what you say later. But in Luke chapter number 16, I want you to look, please. I'm going to read just a couple of verses here, and then I'm going to have you to turn to the book of Revelation. In the book of Luke chapter 16, here is the account of hell. Hell is an awful place. Notice in chapter 16 at verse number 23. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Abraham, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Can I tell you, nothing's changed about hell. Hell's still real. That's still a real place. And this poor man is in hell now, yet begging for one drop of water. Hell is still real. Now, I want you to go over, please, and look in the book of Revelation, in Revelation chapter number 21. In Revelation 21, I read just a couple of verses here as well. Verse number 3, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Will you bow with me for prayer? I've just read two conflicting passages, two different passages of eternity, one of torment, one of blessing, heaven and hell. I want you to pray with me. I don't want a person in this building, not a person in the media audience, the radio or the internet, to die and go to hell. But my desires are not sufficient. But I would remind you that the God of this universe said, he's not willing that any should perish. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoso believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He does not want one boy or one girl or one man or woman in hell. Not here in this building, not in the radio audience or internet audience, not around the world. He's not willing that any should perish. I want you to know he loves you this morning, died for you, that you might have everlasting life. Father, I pray now the Holy Spirit of God to do that I cannot do, convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And I pray, Father, the Holy Ghost of God right now will deal with men, women, boys, and girls. I pray, our Father, they come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. And for those of us who are saved, Father, I pray, God, that you'd speak to our hearts. And God, we'll thank you and praise you and give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Two places diametrically opposed, a place of torment, where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. A place called heaven where there's joy and peace, no more sickness, no more sorrow, no more pain for all eternity. Two different places, contrasted. A few weeks ago, Brother Gary Mayberry preached an awesome message on heaven. And thank the Lord, it was a blessing to my heart. And I know it was to many of you. Heaven and hell are real places, just as real as Benson, just as real as Andrew, just as real as Raleigh. And hell is still real. Heaven is still real. And while there's so many to contrast to those places, there are some things they have in common. And I want to just share those with you just briefly for just a few moments. I had this on my heart to preach in a fellowship on Friday, and I didn't get to do it. So are you getting leftovers? No, you're not either. This is what God had for us this morning. Notice, I want to tell you, strangely, these places who are so different have some things in common. I'd suggest to you in the first place this morning, they have this in common. There are no exits. There's no exits in heaven. There are no exits in hell because people in heaven don't want to get out and those who are in hell can't get out. Once you die, my dear friend, you're in heaven or hell for all eternity. My dear friend, those in heaven wouldn't come back. I know we have so many loved ones who've left out from here recently and they love you. They love you more than you could ever know. But I promise you, they would not want to come back to this world having been in heaven. They have no desire to come back. Let me say, those in hell, as desperately as they want to get out, there's no way to get out. If you die lost, you'll be there for all eternity, my dear friend, in a place called hell. Not only are there no exits, there are no graves in heaven and no graves in hell because nobody dies in either place. In heaven, the Bible said there's no more death, no sorrow, no sighing, and they live for all eternity. They're more alive than they've ever been. Listen, it's been my sad duty over this past year. I do not know how many times I've walked with a family to the graveside. I'm just about tired of it. I'm ready for the Lord to come back. I don't want to have to console another mom or dad or husband or wife. I'm glad God lets me be there to help. But thank God there's coming a day you won't have to worry about that anymore, because in heaven there are no graves. Nobody dies in heaven. No tombstones in heaven. Thank God you'll be in the presence of the Lord for all eternity if you're saved. My dear friend, in hell, nobody dies, although they want to. I have been with friends who are saved. I have been with those who are lost. And many a time they come to the place where their body's been racked with disease and they're in pain and agony. And they come to this place in life when they finally say to me, Brother Billy, and to their family, I'm just ready to go. I don't want to fight anymore. I'm tired of being sick. I'm tired of taking medicine. I'm tired of it. I just want to go. Because they understand that to leave that body of pain and sickness is a relief. And my dear friend, listen, in heaven, nobody ever dies. But the awful thing about it is this, that those who are lost and think that death will be a release for them, and that death will be a relief for them. Their body racked with pain or some disease, and they're deteriorated away, and they've been in such pain and agony, they just wished it was over. But the sad commentary is this, it is not over when they die, because in hell, this man lift up his eyes, being in torments. And my dear friend, in heaven, there are no graves, because nobody dies. And in hell, there are no graves. Although people would love to die, they would love to have the pain to quit. They'd love for it to stop. They'd love to have just one split second when they're pain-free and they're not in weeping and wailing, gnashing of teeth. But that's not so. The Bible said the smoke of their torment shall ascend day and night forever and ever. In hell, there are no graves. In heaven and in hell, there are no beds. There are no beds. I used not to like to sleep. I got where I like it pretty good now. And having run all day long is a blessing to be able to lay down and rest. But you know what? In heaven, you won't ever get tired. You don't have to have a bed in heaven. You don't have to rest. You will not become weary. You will not become tired. You can enjoy the good blessings of the Lord all the time and never become tired. But my dear friend, in hell there are no beds, because the Bible said they have no rest day nor night in hell. Never a place to relax, never a place to get any kind of relief. They're tormented day and night forever and ever. No rest from that. I'd suggest this to you. Not only do they have in common, they don't have exits, and they don't have graves, don't have beds. But I'd suggest this to you, that people who end up in heaven and people who end up in hell end up there for the same reason. You say, what in the world do you mean? One word. Belief. People end up in heaven because of belief. They end up in hell because of belief. Paul says this, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Everybody in this building who's saved and going to heaven, you're going because you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Every person in heaven is there today because they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. But everybody's in hell today too because of belief, not because they were drunkards or adulterers or murderers or thieves or robbers. They're in hell because of what they believed. Those people in hell today believed that they could get that they could go to heaven by good works. But you can't go to heaven by good works. There are people who died and went in hell today because of what they believed. They believed that you can go to heaven by being good. But the Bible said, not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to His mercy He saved us. Everybody in hell is there today because of what they believed. They believed that they had a second. They believed there wasn't a God. They believed there wasn't a hell. They believed the Bible wasn't true. They believed they had another chance. But my dear friend, there came a day when they died, lost. And they're in hell today because of what they believed. What do you believe? You say, Brother Bill, I don't believe the Bible. I don't believe that Jesus died for our sin. I don't believe, you can believe that, but you'll be in hell because of what you believe. not because of your sin, because Jesus died to save sinners. He bore all our sins in his own body in the tree. And my dear friend, if you'll believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, not with a head knowledge, but with a heart knowledge and turn to him in faith, he'll save you and give you everlasting life. Heaven and hell have this in common, that they are there for the same reason. People are in heaven because they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and were saved. People in hell are there because of what they believed. They believed wrongly and they ended up in hell. The heaven and hell have this in common. There's no end to either one of them. No end. Forever, the Bible said, in the presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy forever and ever and ever. You'll never get used to being in heaven. It'll never get old. It'll always be joyous. It'll always be a blessed thing. You'll enjoy it for all eternity. You'll never get tired of being in heaven. But those in hell, there's no end to it. There's no end to the suffering. There's no end to the pain. There's no end to the sorrow. Forever and ever and ever to be in hell for all eternity. Never to have any rest. Never to have any peace. Every person who's died up to this point now has died. If they died lost, they're in hell. Every person in the Old Testament that died lost, they're in hell. They're still conscious. They still know what's going on. And they've been tormented day and night, forever until now. And it'll be that way for the eternity, forever suffering in a place called hell. There's no such thing as soul annihilation. There's no end to it. You live there forever in heaven or hell. Then I say this to you. Both places are very, very big. There's room for everybody. The Bible said, hell hath enlarged herself. And he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. You want to be in hell or heaven? There's plenty of room for you in heaven or in hell. Because every person from Adam to the end of the world is going to be in heaven or hell. Every individual. And there's room for you in either place. You have a decision to make whether you trust Christ or not. He didn't prepare hell for you. He prepared it for the devil and his angels. But hell hath enlarged herself. And there's room for you there if you want to be in hell for all eternity. But thank God there's room in heaven for you. I love that fact, that he said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That means everybody to the sound of my voice. There's room in heaven for every one of you if you'll trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Heaven and hell have this in common. They're both the same distance from here. From right where you're sitting at now, it's the same distance from here to heaven as it is from here to hell. You say, Brother Billy, how far is it? Just that fast. Just that fast. The Bible says, thy soul liveth, there's but one step between thee and death. One beat of your heart, that's how far it is from here to heaven. One beat of your heart, that's how far it is from here to hell. Would you like to know ahead of time? Wouldn't you like to be able to repent ahead of time? Wouldn't you like to be able to say, I've lived a wicked life, but I've been wrong, and now I know Jesus died for my sin. I'd love to trust him. But the sad thing is this. Hell's full of people who believe wrongly. They believed they would know before they died, but they didn't. Just that fast, they went in hell. They were planning to graduate, and they in hell. They were planning to get married, and they in hell. They were planning to retire, and they in hell. Just that fast. It's the same distance from here to heaven. It is from here to hell. One heartbeat, one step. My dear friend, to be absent from the body as a saved person is to be present with the Lord. To be lost means this, and in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. There's no purgatory. There are no second chances. When your heart quits beating, you leave this world, you leave saved or lost, and you'll be there for all eternity. Can I say this to you? Not only is it closer than you think, not only are they the same distance apart, but there are no second chances in either place. For those who are in hell, there are no second chances to repent. There are no second chances to cry and ask God to save you. Here this man in hell wanted one drop of water. He wanted to be delivered. He couldn't get out. He couldn't get water. He couldn't get any peace. He couldn't get any rest. He was tormented in the flame. And when you, if you die lost and you're in hell, you don't ever, ever, ever get out. You don't ever get out for all eternity. and you'll never have another chance to repent. In fact, some of you, there'll never be another chance for you to trust Christ as it is today. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. When I was pastoring down in Florida, we ran buses. And on one particular occasion, we brought two young teenage boys. They were the most disruptive, rowdy boys you've ever seen. They came one Sunday and they just were caused pandemonium. They came the next Sunday and my old preacher friend, Brother Avery Rogers, was preaching that morning. And they sat in the back. They disrupted and cut up. And he had to call them down. I was going to speak to them as soon as the service was over with. And as soon as the service was over with, I spoke to a few people at the front. Somebody came running to me and said, Brother Billy, said, those teenage boys are down in the nursery. They're tearing it all to pieces. And when I ran down into that nursery and I got to where those boys were at, before I knew what I was doing, I'd grabbed one of them and I had him on the floor, the youngest one. And I was sitting right on top of him. And I was saying to that young boy, I said, listen, the man of God, you've just showed disrespect to him, the word of God. Don't die lost. You need to trust Christ as your Savior. Don't let your friend send you to hell. Don't let this person send you to hell. You listen to the gospel and get saved. Don't let him keep you from getting saved today. And then I realized what I was doing. I mean, I was sitting on him, just holding him down physically. And I said, son, I'm so sorry. I said, I lost my temper. But son, Jesus loved you and he died for you. And he'll save you right now today. And I can see that boy's eyes looking straight in my face, looking right at me. And he shook his head. And I said, I started praying. And while I was praying, the other teenager stood on top of me and I felt him spit on my head twice and he ran out the door. When I got through praying, I turned the young other boy loose. He took off. That was on a Sunday. On Monday morning, one of the ladies in our church who was a teacher called me from Florella, Alabama and said, Brother Billy, do you remember those two teenage boys at church on Sunday? And I said, I sure do. He said, the youngest one of those boys is dead. I said, what? She said, he's dead. Said he broke a tube of glue in the bathroom and he got in a stall and he was stiffing that glue and something happened. His heart stopped and he's dead. He's dead. There's some people in this building, you may never, ever have another chance to trust Christ. This may be your very last chance. And there's no second chances to get saved when you get to heaven and when you get to hell. When you get to hell, there's no more chances. You need to trust him now. Some of you have been thinking, I'm going to trust him one day. I'm going to trust him one day. I want to get saved one day. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. I've been preaching a long time. I cannot assure you of anything except this one thing in regard to salvation. Today's the day of salvation. I cannot tell you get saved tomorrow or next week, but you can get saved today. Today you can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you need to do it today. For those of us who are saved, there are no second chances when you die. No second chances for you to serve. No second chances for you to be obedient. I like what Cheyenne said. It sounded like something Brad has told her. I don't want to sit on the bench. I don't want to sit on the sidelines. I want to do something for God. There's some of you who've been thinking about being faithful to God. God's been dealing with you about doing something, being obedient and doing something. God's been burdening you about your faithfulness to Sunday school or to church or to giving or whatever it is. God's been speaking to your heart about witness to somebody, and you've been putting it off. You may hear this afternoon that one person that God's been burdening your heart about to go witness to, share Christ with, and tell about Jesus, they may die this afternoon. You'll never have another chance to witness to them. You'll never have another chance to tell them about Christ. You'll never have another chance to witness to your grandchildren and tell them how to be saved and live a life that honors Christ before them. And there's no more chances to serve. There's no more chances to serve. My dear friend, when you live for God here, you do what you're going to do, and then it's over with. And then your works do follow you. If you're going to serve him, you need to serve him now. If you're going to sing for him, you need to sing for him now. If you're going to witness for him, you need to witness for him now. Because in heaven, you'll won't ever have another chance to do that. You know the sad thing about it? I believe that there's coming a time, there are two judgments. One is the judgment of Christ for believers for reward. And then there's another great white throne judgment for those who are lost. I feel like that we'll be at both of them. We'll be participants and be judged at the judgment seat for our faithfulness and for our works, not for our salvation. But we'll also have to stand before God at the white throne, I believe, when he judges the lost people. And I'm very burdened that white throne judgment when he cast eternally people into hell for all eternity because they've not trusted Christ, that there'll be some who'll point a finger at me and a finger at you, and they'll be screaming as they plunge into hell for all eternity and saying, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you warn me? Why didn't you share the gospel with me? Why? I worked with you. I was at school with you. You were my friend. And you never told me how to be saved. And you'll have to see them consigned to hell for all eternity, that lake of fire. When you die, you won't ever have another chance to serve. You won't ever have another chance to be faithful to God. You won't ever have another chance to invest in missions. You'll never have another chance to witness. Jim Elliot, that great missionary, days gone by, who was killed by the Inca Indians. His wife, Elizabeth Elliot, carried on that ministry. And so many of those people have been saved. Great churches established. He made this simple statement that's been echoed over the years. Only one life will soon be passed. And only what's done for Christ will last. But he also made another statement. He said, live your life every day in such a way that when it comes time to die, that's all you've got to do. That you've done everything that God warned you to do up to that point in time. You'll never have another chance to serve him when you die. You need to serve him now. Would you bow your heads in prayer with every head bowed, every eye closed this morning? While these two places, so very, very real, are so very different, there are some things that are very much alike. There are no exits in heaven or hell. Those in hell can't get out. Those in heaven don't want to get out. There are no beds in heaven because those in heaven never get tired. Those in hell have no rest. There are no graves in heaven or hell because those in heaven live eternally in bliss and joy. And those in hell are tormented day and night forever and ever. Those in heaven are there because they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Those in hell are there because they believe wrongly. They believe something else. There are no second chances in heaven or hell. You're going to do what you do now, today. You'll be lost for eternity or you'll be saved. You'll serve or you'll not serve. Because the day's coming that we'll have no more time. The night cometh when no man can work. It's coming that day when you leave this world, you no longer can witness, you no longer can pray, you no longer can share or give. Do it now. Don't wait till tomorrow to be faithful. Don't wait for tomorrow to serve him. Don't wait till tomorrow to be saved. I want us to stand with our heads bowed and eyes are closed. I want to invite you this morning, first of all, if you've never been saved, would you take one simple step of faith? And say, Brother Billy, I don't want to die and go to hell. I want to be in heaven. I believe that Jesus died for my sin. And today I believe he'll save me. I believe he was buried and rose again. And today I want to be saved. I don't want to die and go to hell. God's been speaking to your heart. He's been dealing with you. He's been drawing you. Folk have been praying for you. Will you take that simple step of faith? I'll meet you right here at the front. I'll take your hand if you'll come trust Christ today. If you're here today, and you know that you're not saved, you have everything to gain and nothing to lose by stepping out and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, I'd love to meet you right here. I'd like to pray for you right now. If you're here this morning, you say, Preacher, you may be a visitor, a guest. You say, Preacher, I've never been saved, but I want to be saved before it's too late. I simply ask you to pray for me. I want to assure you I'm going to pray for you right now. I'm not going to come to you, but just pray for me, Preacher. I want to be saved before it's too late. Would you raise your hand right up, right back down? I want to be saved before it's too late, Preacher. Pray for me. I want to invite you. Brother Brad's going to sing a verse of a song. If you're not saved, I invite you to come. Those who are going to be baptized, you can slip back to the back here to my left and be ready to be baptized. And if you're not saved, you come trust Christ. I'll meet you here. If you're a Christian and God spoke to your heart about your faithfulness He's been dealing with you about certain things. You've been putting it off, and you've been just taken away with all of kind of interest and not with the things of God. Will you come this morning, recommit your life to Christ, rededicate your life to Christ, or make a commitment to Him, to serve Him? Heavenly Father, I pray, God, the Holy Ghost right now will draw men and women, boys and girls, help them to trust Jesus as Savior and Lord. I pray, our Father, that God, they'd respond to the Word of God and they trust Jesus this morning as their Savior. I pray, God, for God's people, God, they'd be obedient. Help them to come now, and we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name.